Because of a navigation blunder, much of the underground and well-camouflaged Peenemünde site was left undamaged. Brian Ford described the results. Even so, over 800 of the people on the island were killed. After this, it was realized that some of the facility had better be dispersed throughout Germany. Thus, the theoretical development facility was moved to Garmisch-Partenkirchen, development went to Nordhausen and Bleicherode, and the main wind tunnel and ancillary equipment went down to Kochel, some 24 miles south of Munich. This was christened Wasserbau-Versuchenstall-Kochelsee, Experimental Waterworks Project, and gave rise to the most thorough research center for long-range rocket development that, at the time, could have been envisioned. Mary Bennett and David S. Percy, authors of Dark Moon, Apollo and the Whistleblowers, speculated that the British air raid on Peenemünde was designed not to knock out the V rocket site, but to force it to move to safer environs to ensure the safety of the rocket program. They showed how the raid bombed the site's northern peninsula rather than the main facility due to misplaced target indicators. These authors noted that of the 800 personnel who died in the air raid, about half were mostly Russians from the prisoner labor force, and the other half were technicians and their families. After this raid, the irreplaceable Hermann Obert was transferred to the safety of the Reinsdorf Works near Wittenberg to continue his work. Instructions from the highest level, it seems, had been to target personnel and certainly not the V-2 rocket production facilities. It was clearly crucial that these rockets, plans, and parts were spared, they stated. Someone with high authority wanted this Nazi technology available to them after the war. Nick Cook also saw the connection between such exotic technology and the mysterious Hans Kammler. There was, via the Kammler Trail, a mounting body of evidence that the Nazis, in their desperation to win the war, had been experimenting with a form of science the rest of the world never remotely considered, he wrote, and that somewhere in this cauldron of ideas, a new technology had been born. One that was so far ahead of its time, it had been suppressed for more than half a century. One clue to what this revolutionary technology might involve was found in the capture of physicist Walter Gerlach, one of the Nazi scientists brought to the United States after the war.